Republican congressional leaders challenge the Fed to change course and do nothing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Federal Reserve today wraps up its two-day session on monetary policy with a couple of ideas on the table. It could, among other things, lower long-term interest rates in a move it's calling Operation Twist. Something else on the minds of the Board of Governors, a letter sent to Chairman Ben Bernanke from Republican leaders in the House and Senate, asking them to refrain from any more monetary stimulus because it may be doing more harm to the economy than good. Morris Davis worked at the Federal Reserve under Chairman Alan Greenspan years ago. He's now a professor of real estate at the University of Wisconsin. Professor, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are the concerns of Republican congressmen, are they correct?
Yeah, if they are correct. It's unusual. I don't remember ever reading about members of Congress sending the Fed a letter asking them not to do anything. What the Republicans might be afraid of is that the Fed can't reduce the unemployment rate and that all we're doing right now through monetary policy is setting the stage for future inflation.
I know Democrats have cried foul about this, including Senator Schumer from New York. How is this any different from when Chairman Bernanke is called to regular hearings on Capitol Hill and he gets grilled by Congress there?
Well, Congress has always asked the Fed chairman for explanation about his policies. So I think the only difference is that typically the chairman's asked to explain what he has done in the past. And now Congress is asking the chairman to not do anything in the future.
Are you worried, Professor, that this is going to threaten the Fed's independence or at the very least set a dangerous precedent?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what you want is a central bank that is concerned about the health of the economy, independent of where we are in an election cycle. You know, there's kind of been a gentleman's agreement that the Fed would not interfere with elections. I guess maybe members of Congress would see a huge stimulus announcement as potentially interfering with the election cycle. But, you know, what you want is a central banker that doesn't care about elections. What you want is a central banker that just does the best possible monetary policy, independent of who's in Congress.
Morris Davis, professor of real estate at the University of Wisconsin, used to work at the Fed in D.C. under Alan Greenspan. Professor Davis, thanks.
Thank you very much.
There's an October 1st deadline for a new federal budget, and here's a surprise. Republicans and Democrats are at an impasse over funding. This time, the issue that threatens to shut down the government is disaster aid for the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA. Here's Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale.
FEMA's disaster fund is running out of money. Senators have approved $7 billion to replenish it, but Republicans say the government should be scaling back its response to storms, droughts, and earthquakes. They say $3.5 billion is plenty, and it should be paid for, not borrowed like most emergency spending in the past. The parties are trying to reach agreement on a budget to keep the government in business, but only for 7 weeks, which means more budget brinksmanship to come. Budget analyst Stanley Collender with Corvus Communications says before the November 2012 election, Republicans will insist on approving only short-term spending plans.
Could be the Republicans are going to just fund the government 1 month at a time so they continue to have leverage with these shutdown opportunities. It's going to be a very ugly year.
Economists say any interruption of government spending could tip the economy back into recession. Collender says expect the next budget impasse right around Thanksgiving. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The Nasdaq's up about, 0.2%, but the Dow is down 31 points, about 0.25%, at 11,377. European shares are down, but trading in Asia was mostly higher today. More people in the U.S. bought pre-owned homes in August, but the National Association of Realtors says the numbers were driven mostly by an increase in foreclosure sales. And the housing market, it says, is still in the tank. This morning, Lloyd's of London is reporting a loss of more than $1 billion for the first 6 months of the year, and all due to a record number of claims from natural disasters.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. By Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
An American oil company is causing a big rift in the Middle East, this time in the waters between Turkey and Cyprus. Julia Simon reports from Cairo.
When it comes to players in the Eastern Mediterranean basin, there's Egypt, Israel, Lebanon, Turkey, Cyprus, and then there's Noble Energy of Houston, Texas.
Noble Energy is the lead company and has got the most exposure to the East Mediterranean so far.
That's Catherine Hunter of IHS Energy. She says the regional tensions started last year. That's when Noble made the world's largest deepwater natural gas discovery of the past decade in Israeli waters near Cyprus. Hunter says that immediately all the neighbors started contesting the waters.
Those finds have been made in a region with long-standing existing disputes over boundaries, onshore, over political issues. And so suddenly we find energy injected into that already complex mix.
Noble wouldn't comment for this story, but this week the company began its scheduled drilling south of Cyprus. Meanwhile, Turkey has threatened to send warships if Noble doesn't stop drilling. In Cairo, I'm Julia Simon for Marketplace.
And finally, the last round of a college golf tournament in Fort Worth, Texas, had to be called off yesterday after a tree limb fell near the 18th hole. Talk about a hazard. That limb held a huge beehive, and several people nearby were stung by the reported 70,000 bees that swarmed around. There were no serious injuries, thank goodness, but it did leave me wondering, who stuck around to count all the bees? I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
A thumb on the highway is an icon that's all but gone away.
By the time I was 15... I think hitchhikers had pretty much disappeared.
I'm Bob Moon. On the next installment of Freakonomics, where'd all the hitchhikers go? Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.